But we've still seen the budgets of how much money is going to older Canadians and how much money is going towards younger Canadians. It's still substantially more going to older Canadians. I genuinely think that most politicians are more concerned with locking down that vote than they are winning younger votes. You know, I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about our taxes and our debts being so high. So the people who have benefited the most should help pay for it. I just don't want to see so much money going towards helping seniors who have are very low income but sitting on $2 million homes. Hi and welcome to The Missing Middle. I'm Kara Stern.
And I'm Mike Moffitt.
Today we're going to look at a recent poll and ask, do millennials feel they are worse off than their parents? And how might this impact Canadian society?
But before we have that conversation, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
Recently, Leger released some fascinating and rather alarming polling data under the title, Is the Future Bright? And spoiler, this is one of those cases that proves the old law. Any headline that ends in a question mark can be answered with the word nope. Leger asked 983 Canadians between the ages of 18 and 39 a series of questions about housing, the economy, and their outlook. Because I'm in this age group and Mike, well, isn't. We thought we'd change things up and have Mike ask the questions. He's going to find out what I think about it. So take it away, Mike.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kara. I'm looking forward to getting your take on these. Now, this was a long survey. I'm not going to ask you all the questions. I've actually just picked out five, because five is the best number, of the more interesting questions. So let's jump right in. So I'm going to ask you question one. Do you believe that beginning your adult life, such as obtaining a quality post-secondary education, establishing a career, and or starting a family in your own home is harder or easier for you today compared to how it was for your parents? And you have some choices here. They're either harder, about the same, easier, or I don't know.
I'm surprised that anyone picked that it was easier. I mean, I guess those are people who probably had a lot of parental help or invested in Bitcoin early. I feel like objectively, it's way harder now to do all those things. I remember hearing from my parents and about how much they had to work to pay for their university school year. And they said, oh, we just like, you know, you get a job for the summer and then you pay off your tuition the next year. That's all. It's pretty easy. And I was like, that's not how it works. And it's definitely not how it works now. You know, I've graduated more than 10, like 12 years ago, 13 years ago. It's definitely worse now than it was when I was in university. And obviously owning a home, much harder. Establishing a career, for sure. I feel like there's people think about how there's like a lot of high paying jobs that a lot of millennials have, but there's also a lot of really not high paying jobs. And I always think there's something kind of unfair about how like the costs of living are so much higher for younger people. And their salaries start quite low. And a lot of people rely on that low wages and think that we just get younger people in, it'll be fine, they can do everything. And it's not necessarily true or fair. It's definitely harder for all of those things nowadays than it was for our parents.
So you pick harder, and I have to admit, as you know, the generation that's older than you, I have to agree with this as well. I think you guys have a much harder time. No, you can make arguments about paying for school. Yeah, there's, you know, more loans, more grants available than there was for us. But, you know, our tuition was a lot less. Our books didn't cost quite as much. Rents were a whole lot cheaper. But then once you know, some of these other points about, you know, being able to afford your own home, that in my mind is a no-brainer. I mean, in most of this country, it would be quite a bit harder than it was for, you know, my generation or the generation before mine for the boomers. So if we actually look at this, 68% of the respondents said harder and only 13% said easier. Now, one of the things that I found fascinating was the breakdown of, because any of these polls, they can kind of break it down by different groups. Women actually said it was harder than their parents' generation, which surprised me a little bit just because of the barriers that women may have faced in the past. But interestingly, persons of color actually said they were more likely to say it's easier now. And again, that might be because of those barriers. But it seems that everybody's on your side on this, or at least 68% are on your side and say, you know what? Yeah, it is harder.
The side of the truth.
The side of the truth. And I have to admit that, you know, I agree with you guys. And I think, you know, every generation feels like, you know, they are having a tougher time than the previous one. So feeling that way, I don't think is all that unique. But I think, you know, this time it actually has the benefit of being true. So I'm going to ask you a question too. And I think this is one you may have to answer in generalities, or may have to answer on behalf of some of your colleagues. And the question here is, how likely is it that you will be able to own a house or a condominium in the next 10 years? The options are very likely, somewhat unlikely, very unlikely, or I don't know.
Well, I mean, I was able to buy a home thanks to family help. I wouldn't have been able to do it without that. And so I think those who are very likely are probably people who have family help or expecting to be able to get some family help in the next couple of years. I think that most people would say that it's unlikely. There are a lot of optimistic people that I think, I guess if they're looking in 10 years, they're hopeful that things can change. So that would make sense that some would think in 10 years, maybe it'll be fine. But there's a lot of hopelessness out there of people saying, well, unless like my parents die and leave me a bunch of money, or if I find out I have some like rich aunt or something that I didn't know about who wants to help me out, like a lot of people feel like it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and you're right. So remember, this poll is of Canadians between the ages of 18 and 39. And it was basically split down the middle, that 45% said likely and 48% said unlikely. And those are respondents that don't currently have a house. So they just act, you know, this question was only for people who are renters or live with their parents or whatever, do not own a house. What was really interesting to me is if they break it down into subsamples and look at the 28 to 39 year olds, so the older cohort, only 41% of that cohort says that it's likely. You know, far more of them said it was unlikely. And these are people in their 30s. You know, I don't know about you, but that seems really worrying to me that you have a generation of young people, and again, not really that young, you know, people in their 30s who have basically given up on ever being able to afford to own a home.
Yeah, I think that they're probably looking at it and going, well, I don't see it getting better. I don't see any of the policies that have been put in place leading to immediate change yet. And I mean, politicians haven't done much over the last few years to make it easier for them. So I'm thinking a lot of them are just giving up at this point. But I guess there's some hope that like 10 years is a long time. I guess there's some hope that something could change, that like maybe it'll work out. Maybe they'll be able to own a home. And then I guess also if you had condos and houses both in the questions, and I guess that probably also there's a bit of division. I'm sure there's more people who expect that, like, we see condo prices, like, they're not really moving up right now. They're kind of, some of them are going down. So maybe there's some hope there that like they'll be able to afford something.
Yeah, I think so. And there's always some nuance where, you know, some of those people go, I actually prefer renting, so I don't really care that I can't afford to own a home. So, you know, there are, you know, a poll can only tell you so much, but, you know, I do think it's worrying when you see this, that, you know, you've got this cohort that doesn't own a home, and more of them think that they're never going to be able to, or at least not in the next 10 years. Here's question three that I've pulled from the survey. Politicians are more interested in promoting and protecting the interests of older generations than they are people my age. Now, your options here are, you strongly agree that politicians are more interested in helping old people or older people than people your age, somewhat agree, somewhat disagree, or strongly disagree.
I feel like it's pretty strongly that politicians are more concerned with older generations than they are about millennials or Gen Z. I know that they like to talk about it because they know that that works well. I will give some credit where, like, the childcare system, for example, like, that's a huge, huge benefit to young people. But we still see in the budgets of how much money is going to older Canadians and how much money is going towards younger Canadians. It's still substantially more going to older Canadians. Like, I, and I, genuinely think that most politicians are more concerned with locking down that vote than they are winning younger votes.
Well, again, you are speaking to the consensus in this poll. So, you know, you are, I think, the perfect one person focus group for let's say the older cohort of millennials. So not surprisingly, 58% agree, either strongly or somewhat agree, that politicians are more protective of the old than the young, with only 24% disagreeing. The others were basically like, don't know, or about the same. And again, some breakdowns there that BIPOC respondents are actually more likely to agree. So they even have higher levels of feeling that politicians are catering to older respondents than youngers. And again, you know, I see this as a problem if you're running for office and younger people just don't believe that you have their interests at heart.
Makes sense.
It's a nice kind of segue to our next question, question four, that previous generations are rigging the system for their benefit and making it harder for my generation. So it's a little bit different. It's not asking, do they care about more about the old, but rather, are politicians actively rigging the system against young people?
It definitely feels that way. It definitely feels like the previous generations were like, this worked great for me. Okay, now that we're done this age, can we just kick the ladder out behind us? It feels that way with university tuition. It feels that way with housing. Like there's, you know, people are really happy that their home prices are high. Not everyone, but a lot of people are very happy that their home prices are so high. And they're like, that's fine. You'll figure it out. I figured it out. You'll figure it out. It's fine. Not realizing that their success, it actually is a zero-sum game with people trying to get into the system. And so it does feel that way. It seems like a lot of the money is being kept at the top and increasingly going to the top in a way that it almost feels like my generation, millennials, and even like I'm like mid-millennial, had it easier than Gen Z has it now. Like, I don't know how people afford rent these days. Like my same salary would not pay anything close to what it got me before. So it's changing for the worse. And it seems like people are just kind of okay with it and saying, well, it's fine. Like, yeah, this is, I believe millennials are the first generation in history to do worse than their parents. And everyone seems to just go, them's the breaks, like, sorry. And that's really, really, really frustrating.
Well, I can imagine. And, you know, Gen X was supposed to be the generation that did worse than their parents. But we actually, I think we turned out okay. And it's interesting, you know, all of the things that you mentioned, you know, Scott Galloway is really good on this and talks about it a lot. We're huge fans of the Pivot podcast here, where they talk about that, because any podcast that has a business school professor talking to someone named Kara, you gotta listen to it. So anyhow, yeah, you're our one person focus group, because not surprisingly, you gave the same answer. That's pretty similar to question three. 54% agree that the older generations are rigging the system. Only 25% disagree. So let's go to the final question, because unlike the other ones, I actually don't have a great sense of how you're going to answer this question. So it's a bit of a surprise to me. And we're going to change it up a bit. So question five, please indicate which point of view you more closely associate with. It could either be A, we need more government spending to support programs and services today and in the future, or proposition B, we need less government spending, as I am worried about generations like mine being overly taxed in the future to pay for today's debt.
Can I say C of, I would like different government spending? Like, I think about how governments are spending their money right now, and I'm like, we need a ton of social support. I'm someone who thinks that we absolutely do. There's a lot of people falling behind. We have widening wealth inequality. I'd like to see lots of investments into helping people who absolutely need it. And then I'm watching here in Ontario, our government spent, I don't know what it's at, $500 million or more to get beer into corner stores a year and a half earlier than they would if they otherwise just waited until the contract with the beer store expired. And I think the money they're spending on that, how far could that go to help people if they're building it towards affordable housing, or if they're building it towards like there's just so many different areas. I think that we need to spend our money better. And then I also think a lot of that money needs to come from people with wealth and not just like high incomes. Don't just tax high incomes, tax wealth. Maybe it's property taxes. Maybe there's other wealth tax that makes sense. But I think that there's a lot of people who have done very well at the expense of people who can't get ahead at this point. And so we need, I think we need a lot of support, but I acknowledge it, like, you know, I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about our taxes and our debts being so high. So the people who have benefited the most should help pay for it. I just don't want to see so much money going towards helping seniors who have a very low income, but sitting on $2 million homes. Like, I really think there needs to be a way to capture that. So we spend less money on like old age security for people who really, frankly, don't need it.
Yeah, well, once again, I think you're being our one person focus group here, because, you know, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, that, you know, that seemed to be the consensus answer. That, first of all, it was split down the middle, with 29% wanting more spending and 34% wanting less. And everybody else was somewhat in the middle going, okay, you know, what I'm more worried about is the composition and how things are. You know, how the dollars are being allocated rather than, you know, more versus less. There was a gender gap here with men leaning towards less spending, women leaning towards more, but, you know, only to a certain extent. But here's what I found fascinating. And actually, here's what I find particularly worrying as somebody with more of a progressive bent. And I think this has huge political ramifications that are poorly understood. If you ask this question of, you know, should we be spending more or should we be spending less, to the people who answered that things are much more difficult for them than it was for their parents, right? So you just carve out the people who are saying things are getting worse, you know, the system's rigged against us. Those are the people who are far more likely to want less government spending. So that's actually pretty remarkable to me, and I think should be a wake-up call to progressives, that the young people who are most struggling, who need the most help, are the ones who are saying, no, you know what? The system's rigged against us. This spending's going to go somewhere else. So I just want to see a whole lot less government, because I don't think, you know, I think government's actively working against me and my generation rather than for me. So I got to know, does that resonate with you?
That's totally fair. Like, I look at, like, while in the last bunch of years that Justin Trudeau's been in power, like, there's been a lot of government spending and things have gotten, like, absolutely worse for so many people that I think that people would look at that and be like, look at all that spending, but why is it so hard? So clearly government spending is not the solution here. I don't know that the money that they're using is actually getting to the people that need it the most. So yeah, not surprised.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was a little bit, but when you start to think it through, like you just have there, then you go, okay, that makes sense. But again, that's really worrying to me, or at least I think it should be worrying to more center and center left politicians, where the people who want the most help, or at least the people who need the most help, see the most helpful thing that the government can do is either balancing the budget or cutting their taxes, that they think government is you know, actively working against them. So that's a question. I got to admit, this is fun. You know, normally you're peppering me with questions, so it's been a blast to you know, be able to interview you. But I'm gonna give you your job back, so you can close us out.
It's much scarier being the one to answer questions than ask questions. I'm so comfortable asking questions, and then you're like, "Tell me what you think," and I'm like, "Ah, okay, what do I think?" It's a lot of fun. So it was a fun change of role here. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and thanks as always to our producer, Meredith Martin.
And if you have any burning housing or economics questions, please send us an email to missingmiddlepodcast@gmail.com.
For either of us, we will both read it. And we'll see you next time.